T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome into the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk here. NFC Championship Week. Mark Menard at Master Control, taking your phone calls at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert across from me. I'm Christian Garrick, and it is NFC Title Game Week. Saints and Rams Sunday at 2:05 in the Superdome. Time to break down the matchup. We got plenty of time to do so each and every day this week. Bobby, it's Drew Brees' 40th birthday today, and you want to wish him a happy birthday?
Yeah, I think he deserves that. Listen, he's turning 40, but he might as well be turning 30, considering where he's at as a football player. But here we go. And a one, and a two, and a three. Happy birthday to Drew. Happy birthday to Drew. Happy birthday, Drew Brees. Happy birthday to you. Now, think about
this. That's pretty good, Bobby. Happy birthday, Drew.
I don't know, man. I'm under the weather. I'm on the back end of being sick, but
right.
I'm hanging in there. But you know what? You think Drew Brees worried about his 40th birthday? You might say, yeah, he's worried about it. But deep down, what's the best 40th birthday present?
An NFC title game win.
NFC title game win or Super Bowl win. It could be a late birthday present. It doesn't matter because it's all the same time
right.
frame. We talk about 2 or 3 weeks. Come on. Now, it would be interesting to see if Drew can achieve that greatness and to that, repeat that, and win it at a Super Bowl. Does he fade off into the sunset? I don't know. That'd be an interesting question because I think Drew Brees still has a lot left in the tank. When you consider it amongst the best, when you have a MVP-type season, I think Pat Mahomes is the MVP. Drew Brees is 1A. So when you take that into consideration, and what they're paying you, I mean, how can you retire?
Yeah, but at some point, I know it's important to him being around his kids. You can't get those moments back. He's talked about that.
Well, so one more year, your kids are a year older. Come on, they're still young enough. I mean, you have the off season and all. No, he has enough time. He could construct when he wants to be around his kids, and let all the help do the dirty work. You know, no, he can have his cake and eat it too. Believe you me.
I know, but maybe he wants to do all the dirty work as well. Maybe he wants to be just dad. He's got plenty of money. He's been smart with his money. I don't know. I'm just worried about Sunday. Take care of business Sunday, and then figure out the rest after that.
Amen.
Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. How much will the Saints miss Sheldon Rankins on defense? He's out for the remainder of the playoffs with a torn Achilles. Big time. It'll hurt, but we're okay. Or not that much. First off, they will miss Sheldon Rankins. He had his best year in his third season. That's a hard injury to come back from. The Saints did sign Tyron Walker, former Saint veteran, or came into the league as an undrafted free agent out of Tulsa from New Iberia.
New Iberia, Louisiana, homegrown. He goes to Tulsa. But this cat is an NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
He's not some guy trying to make the NFL. He has skins on the wall, and he has produced.
He had a big contract with Detroit. You remember leaving New Orleans.
And you know what's crazy? You know who's a big fan of his is the defensive line coach for the L.A. Rams, Bill Johnson.
He used to call him Clyde here.
Yep, Tyron Walker. So I think he can help us. Now, be interesting to see if he's activated or not in the rotation. But you know who's the dark horse of dark horse, and we need him to not be a dark horse, but to be a front runner, is that Taylor Stallworth. No, we always get with the media and we have fun with this. OTAs and minicamp. Okay, look at
dark
the
horse.
Roster. Who's going to be your dark horse? Now, if somebody would have told me, they would have been in Nostradamus. They'd have told me in May.
Nostradamus.
Yeah, something you know what I'm talking about. So if you'd have told me in May that Taylor Stallworth, the rookie out of free agent out of South Carolina, was going to have an impact, and it's going to be legit. He had an outstanding training camp. They put the pads on, what he did in preseason. And the one thing I can tell you, and you might think this is blasphemy, he can hang with Rankins. What are you talking about? You know we can handle
anchoring against the run.
Yes. Now, I don't know about disrupting the quarterback and rushing the passer, but anchoring against the run, I'm telling you, he can hang with Sheldon.
He's proven that.
He can hang on the run. And the one thing, let me tell you, this game, you better have your big boy pants. And what I mean, I'm not even talking about our O-line going against their D-line, because you got to have your big boy pants and pack a lunch. Well, we got to pack a lunch defensively, because considering the success they had running the ball, we need David Onyemata, Tyler Davis. I'm not worried about Tyler. I think Tyler has enough skins in the wall. But Onyemata, can you take that next step? And Taylor Stallworth, that, you know, come on. Man to man, what are you going to do? Are you going to be humbled, or are you going to win? Where you cannot get knocked off the ball, whether you occupy and block. You might even be on the stat sheet where, oh, they played the game, they had a couple of tackles, whatever.
Look at Tyler Davis' stat line every week.
Just don't get knocked off the ball and help our linebackers flow to not let those Rams get off to run the football.
Tyler Davison might have one tackle every two or three games on the stat ledger, but he does his job in the interior. If you want to wish Drew a happy birthday, feel free. You can serenade him at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Coming back for your phone calls, Gray, Brian, Mike, and you too. Also, our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. How much do the Saints miss, or how much will the Saints miss Sheldon Rankins on defense? This is Sports Talk here on Saints Radio, WWL. Happy birthday to Drew. Going to hear a lot of Drew Brees highlights today. Back to the phones we go. Gray and Harvey. What's going on, Gray? You're on Sports Talk on WWL.
Hey. Hey, what's up, Christian? What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Gray.
Hey, Gray.
Make your gentleman laugh right quick. I was looking at the game last Sunday, and that reminded me of Rocky III, that first fight between Rocky and Mr. T. Philadelphia just came up, like, in the first quarter, like, the first round, and just was taking it to the Saints. But then the Saints just beat them up and knocked them out in the fourth quarter and just took the life out of them.
Well, you knew, Gray, just real quick. You kind of knew that the Eagles were going to come in with that momentum and that energy because of they were the forgotten child. They were pronounced dead six weeks ago, and they had played their way into this tournament. But I said it last week. Eventually that team would show that they were tired, and they got tired.
Exactly. And now for next Sunday, I just feel the Saints just played a game like Bobby said. The only way they could lose to the Rams is if they just beat themselves. They just come out with a fast start. Now, the defense kind of remind me of Bobby's old dog patrol. And I'm just very impressed how they basically kept the team in the game, to my opinion. I felt they kept the Saints in a couple of games this season when the offense wasn't clicking.
Well, speaking of offensive clicking, I think it was imperative in that first win in the regular season. If I don't know if we could do it again. But if you can have some kind of momentum because you're playing at home, the crowd's in it. The crowd was in it the whole time. For instance, if Drew doesn't underthrow Ted Ginn Jr. on that bomb, what, the first play you scored, the crowd would have went crazy. Are you kidding me? Then you're going on defense? So it just goes to show you it's a fine, thin line. You got to make the plays. But the one thing the first time around against the Rams, we had 150 yards of offense in the first quarter, and we were winning 14-7. What happened this first quarter against the Eagles? I don't think we even had a yard. Did we have a yard? I don't know. Now, it was, you know, I say the tale of two halves. It was
you had
like,
some yards, but it didn't come until late in the first quarter.
It was like, you know, Christian, I said this at the halftime when we were breaking down the game. It was like, okay, they dominated the first quarter. We won the second quarter. What's going to happen in the second half? So they won a quarter, and we won three quarters. You could see a team can win the first half, who closed out the game the second half. Now, the one thing what's interesting, and it comes into play because we are playing the Rams, when you look at scoring leaders, this is not an opinion. This is what happened throughout the season. And we've been unbelievably impressed with the Saints, how they've closed out the second quarter going into halftime to have the momentum, and how we've closed out games in the fourth quarter. Well, the one thing, Christian, we said this, I think, in the postgame, in the second quarter, to get the momentum going into halftime, the Saints have been like they are in the fourth quarter. You know they've averaged the exact same number in the second quarter as the closeout game in the fourth quarter, 10.1 points. So you could say 10 points.
Situational football, Bobby.
That is outstanding. But you know what? The Rams have averaged their number one NFL 11 points in the second quarter. But the Saints are number one fourth quarter but the Rams do lead him in the second quarter. You know who's right in between them? The Steelers.
So you remember the Steelers game?
Yeah. Howard and Foles?
So listen, that doesn't surprise me, though, because how often do we see in training camp and OTAs situational football that Sean Payton puts
right
in? He stresses that so often. Two-minute drills. I mean, we see two-minute offense and defensive drills being run, I don't know, almost every practice, both offensively and defensively, because of that fact. Because those games typically come down to who can score before the half and who can prevent or score at the end of a game.
Well, it's a great challenge. And, you know, ultimately when you break it down, two-minute offense, but Sean Payton has expanded it like a number of teams now. It's like almost four-minute offense and four-minute defense. What are you going to do? So it's a big challenge. You know, one thing I'm excited about that I can remember watching OTA's minicamp and training camp, the defense kind of got the better of the offense in those two-minute drills. And I say, oh, well, you know, people might say, like, oh, we got to score 2 minutes. But you know what? Maybe that's a good thing for our defense.
Yeah.
Look what happened against the Eagles. You might say, well, it was luck, but still Lattimore had a chance and he made the play. So just important to close out game scoring, you know, right before the half or at the end of a game. Can your defense come up with that big stop and keep the momentum?
In 2015 and 2016, did you trust the Saints defense in a two-minute situation?
Hell no.
No. Started to a little bit last year, even more so this year. Back to the phones. We go all the way to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We find Mike. What's going on, Mike? You're on WWL.
Hey, dude. This is Mike. I just want to inform you people. I think Hebert has been misleading people about how impressed people are with the Houdat Nation. Up here in Forest County, Lamar County, and Camp Shelby, we're not that big much impressed with the Houdat Nation. Secondly,
Mike, are you married to Mary? Are you married to what's her face, Susie?
Secondly,
are you married to Susie?
No. And Mike, do you really live in Hattiesburg? And if you live in Hattiesburg, you don't cheer for the Saints. Who in the hell you cheer for? You're in Hattiesburg.
Secondly,
that's right.
We want to nominate.
No, not secondly. You have
nominate,
to.
We want to nominate Mayor of Atlanta for president.
That is Susie's
to be
husband.
Elected. She don't want your people in.
That's
her
Susie's
city.
Husband, guaranteed.
She's going to be elected, and then she's going to elect. She's going to appoint the Falcons to her administration. You know what you can do with your Houdat Nation? Shove it. If you don't, the Rams are going to shove it.
Well, Mike, how about we pluck your feathers and leave you bare?
Hey, we found Susie's better half.
So wait, was that
this is awesome?
Was that Susie's husband?
He started out with you people. He did the same thing that Susie does. No matter what question you ask her, all she does is just point it right back at you and keep with the insults.
So if they're still together and they're not divorced or separated, Mike, you need to listen. Susie's been sexually frustrated. You got to help her out, Mike. But when I look at Susie, I thought she was from Atlanta. Now you say Hattiesburg. So does Susie live in Hattiesburg, Mississippi?
I don't know.
I mean, look, that's right down the road. That's Saints country.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that wasn't just Susie with a voice changer.
It could have been.
The accent sounded exactly the same.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, good call. I think that's what it was, the voice changer.
No, I think that's either her brother or her husband.
No, she's probably married to herself. I mean, who would put up with Susie? Come on. Susie.
Wow.
Yeah.
James in Baton Rouge.
She needs Blue Chew for herself.
Actually, just sit tight. James, Joe, Mike, Brian, and Kurt in Houston, Texas. After our CBS and local news headlines, more of your phone calls at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. LSU basketball tonight taking on Ole Miss at 7:30. We'll have that for you. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. on the home of the Saints. And LSU right here on WWL. Phone lines are open. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. How much will the Saints miss Sheldon Rankins on defense? Big time? It'll hurt, but we're okay, or not that much at all. Sheldon Rankins playing his best football of his career until that torn Achilles. By the way, two torn Achilles in that game against the Eagles. One from the Eagles and one from the Saints. And that's a tough injury for a big guy to come back from.
Well, you consider the torque in your Achilles, you know, when you're pushing off. And once it goes, you know. But look at Okafor, how he came back. Listen, that's an injury today with technology that it's not like, okay,
right,
you never come back. Versus back in the day when Dan Marino tore his Achilles.
Back to your phone calls after our CBS and local news headlines. Bobby and Christian here on Sports Talk on Saints Radio, WWL. Some Drew Brees love for you on his 40th birthday. Welcome back here on Sports Talk, Bobby and Christian. Just had a great call from Mike slash Susie. I think Mark was right on the money there. That was just Susie with a voice changer. Clint in Biloxi, Mississippi. What's going on, Clint? You're on WWL. Well, we'll be out in your parts tomorrow. Me, Deuce, and Bobby.
Well, Susie needs to change something. I mean, I don't see.
Go ahead. That sounds good. I got a question for Bobby.
All right.
I noticed whenever the Rams were doing quick hit runs against Dallas, like just getting up to the line and running about real fast. And our defense, I just want to ask you, but I'll hang up. It seems like when we have A.J. Klein and DeMario Davis, I've been in the past, a lot of the Saints linebackers missed a lot of tackles. It seems like every time he tackles somebody, he brings them down to the ground hard. I think when him and A.J. and Vaughn Bell, and I think when they're in there, we stop defense a whole, stop the run a lot better. I just want to make an opinion on that.
Eagles struggle to run the football.
Yeah, the Eagles can't run. They struggle to run, but the Eagles can't run. That's a whole different animal than the Rams. I'm going to call it like I see it. Let me tell you one reason why we held the Rams under 100 yards last game in the regular season, because we were so far ahead. We were up, 21 points? Mm-hmm. Well, you're not going to be running the ball just to be running it. Todd Gurley's a bigger version of Alvin Kamara. I'm saying he's that good. And now you look at CJ. That 1-2 punch, no, we're going to have to pack a lunch. It's going to be a challenge. But the one thing, I'm glad you brought that up, Clint, because I look at L.A. and what they've done this season when they run the ball. And I know Coach McVay knows this. I know Sean Payton knows this. Dennis Allen knows this. That when you look at it, we're able to win 45-35. So that's a shootout type game to me. We hit the big play to Michael Thomas, the bomb, 70 yards plus, and then all of a sudden – we all hoot at and cheering and all that. But that's a shootout-type game. That's not necessarily a type of game that you're overly confident that you're going to win. To me, that's kind of flip a coin. You might win, you might not win. It could come down to who has a chance to have a game-winning kick. Well, let me tell you, Will Lutz, if you got a game-winning kick, you got to make it. Well, they're saying the same thing with Zuerlein, and he's capable of doing that just like Will Lutz. He got a game-winning kick. I think it could be where you're going to be chomping, that you're biting your fingernails, you won't even be able to sit in your seat. I think it's going to be that stressful. But the point being, when we won 45-35 last time, the Rams rushed for 92 yards. And it didn't seem like the Rams really ran against us, right? But they still had 92 yards in that game. Now, do you know that was only one of five times that the Rams were held under 100 yards all season? You might say, so what are you trying to tell me? You got a 16-game season. That was only one of five times the Rams did not gain 100 yards all season. You know what the Rams' record was in those five games? 2-3 when they were held on the 100-yard rusher. What was their record? 13-3. So the three losses, they were held on the 100 yards. Now, to me, that's telling me if the Rams can run it down your throat, they're not going to lose.
Right.
They're not going to lose unless they shoot themselves in the foot. So with that being said, you got to force Jared Goff to beat you. You got to force Jared Goff, and without having Cooper Kupp, who's a big part of their comeback, I think he was an outstanding receiver. He blew out his knee on that comeback. So you cannot – listen, Jared Goff will have success if they can run on us. So I don't know, Dennis Allen, whatever kind of game plan, you put a lot of pressure on your DBs. Come on, we need to stop this run. You're on an island. You got to hang one-on-one. Because I know the three losses the Rams had, they did not run for 100 yards. And like I said, their record was 2-3. So first things first. Old school, you might say, the rules have changed. It's still, can you stop the run and can you run the football? And with that being said, if it's an even game, it's going back and forth. And we've been outstanding. The Eagles were terrible in this category. A boring stat, whatever, but it's football. Turnover margin. The Rams for the season were plus 11. We were plus 8. If the Rams are plus 1, we're not going to win. I'm telling you. At home, we are not going to beat the Rams. So all those things, Sean Payton, they know all that. We got to be opportunistic, take away the football, whether it's a forced fumble. I'm not saying scoop and score or pick six. Just to get more offensive possessions, whether it's forcing a fumble or interception. And we need to be on that plus side. We end up being plus 1 against the Eagles. Well, it's going to take that kind of effort, maybe plus 1 or plus 2, to beat the Rams. We cannot be on the negative category, because obviously that gives them hope. And the Rams have been opportunistic this season.
They were even in the first matchup.
Yeah. So
it's 1-1.
Yeah. Even, or we cannot be negative because that's going to be critical. And if you look, this are all playoff teams. You look at the turnover margin, the Seahawks, the Texans, the Bears. They were all above the Rams. You know who's right under the Rams? The New England Patriots, +9. You know who's right under New England? Who's tied with us? The Chiefs. The Chiefs are one ahead of us, +9. We were +8. New England's +10. So that's all playoff teams.
Those are all four teams that are remaining.
Right.
I mean, it's the AFC and NFC title game right there.
Right.
So you got to be at that +7 threshold and above, and your chances of you making the playoffs and having success in the playoffs is right there.
The Saints, out of the four teams, were +8. The Rams were +11. In between that, Patriots +10, Chiefs +9. Who look who's left to play. I'm telling you, my thing, when great's playing great or good's playing good, or however you describe it, it could be how the ball bounced your way. Look, you got to have some luck. Look what happened at the end of the game, how we stopped Nick Foles on that drive. Lattimore comes with the interception. Shouldn't he? I can't think of his name now.
Alshon Jeffery?
Jeffery should have caught that ball. Come on.
Lack of concentration being in intense moments for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, and
that had a factor.
And he's had cracked ribs and all, and how you trying to maybe compensate on. There's no excuses. So the bottom line is that it's going to come down to that. I think how the ball bounces and can you be opportunistic and, I guess, make your own luck with the ball bouncing away, punching it out, whatever it might take, because I think that's what it's going to take to get to the Super Bowl.
In that matchup in November, the Rams were just 3 of 8 on third down. The Saints were 7 of 12. That'll be a big stat to watch Sunday in the NFC title game. Bobby and Christian, back to your phone calls next here on WWL. Little Drew Brees love his 40th birthday today. Back here on Sports Talk on the phones, Bob in Prairieville. What's going on, Bob? You're on WWL. Oh, I got Brian. I'm sorry, Bob. Sit tight. Brian in Louisville, Kentucky. You're on WWL.
Hey, Bobby and Christian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian, what you got?
Hey, I first wanted to call. I hate to see what happened to Sheldon. Was really happy to see Saints pick him up when they needed him most. Hate to see him gone, but the thing I love about this team that we've got now is when it seems that we face adversity, and whether it be games or whatever it may be, we stay cool. And just like this past game, after that first quarter, my boy was Debbie Downer. I told him just to hang tight. We'll make things happen. So, what I love about this team.
Yeah. Well, you know, Brian, it don't matter. It doesn't matter if you were the Patriots, Chiefs, Rams, Saints. Everybody's dealing with adversity. No one's 100%. When you play this long and you've had injuries, you might have key players, like I just mentioned, Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp was that security blanket for Jared Goff. He's no longer available. Not Brandon Cooks. It was Cooper Kupp. Brandon Cooks could stretch the field and all that. And what was it, Woods?
Robert Woods.
Yeah. So they have capable receivers. But I'm telling you, Cooper Kupp was a big part of what they wanted to do offensively, especially in the slot. Now, you look also at the Chiefs. You know who's not available for them? Is there Alvin Kamara? Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, different circumstance. Whether it's injuries, it is what it is. I haven't looked at the Patriots enough to know, but I'm sure there's some player because how they flip their roster and where they're at, not necessarily the most talented team where the Patriots are at, but they're still getting it done. You know, Gronkowski's not the Gronk of old. So the bottom line is the fans don't want to hear none of that. No excuses. You just got to step up and win and take advantage of the opportunity.
Brian, thanks for the phone call. Now we're going to get Bob on line 4 in Prairieville. What's going on, Bob? New phone system, so I punched the wrong button, man. Sorry.
That's all right. Hey, Bobby, how you doing, buddy?
All right, Bob.
Yeah, I played against you when we were in high school. You went to South Lafourche, and I was at Bonneville.
Okay.
That was one game right there. But anyway, my question is, what y'all think about this Ice Bowl getting ready to happen to the Patriots and the Chiefs?
Well, I think those are two teams that are going to handle the elements. I mean, you cannot tell me, after even looking at Pat Mahomes, what he did against the Colts. I don't know. The weather like didn't bother him. And then I look at Tom Brady and the Patriots. It's not like a dome team going playing in those conditions. So, I don't know about
that.
I think I don't know if it's going to be the over. But I don't think it's going to be 13-10.
Tom Brady has
in the Chiefs.
Won championship AFC championship games in the snow. Remember the Tuck game? That was a snow game against the Raiders.
That these two teams, listen, with Belichick, like look at last week, they practiced outside the whole time. So no, if you talk about handling the elements, listen, I think the Chiefs and the Patriots can handle the elements way better than the Saints. And I'm not hating even better than the Rams. Because look where the Rams play. Look where the Saints play. It does make a difference. You might say, well, it shouldn't. It does make a difference when you're playing up in Green Bay or the frozen tundra. Why do you always say, like, Green Bay at home, a playoff-type atmosphere? No, it's not 100%. But I think it does make it – Vegas knows this. It does make a difference, a dome feel, a dome team versus when you're playing with inclement weather in the back end of the season. But then, no excuse. They got bad weather, Kansas City, like New England. So I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen. But I think it won't. The weather won't affect that game as much as maybe you would think.
Back here on Sports Talk, in a few moments, Kurt in Houston, Texas, Brian in Covington, Thomas on the West Bank, Joe in Biloxi, Chad in Belchase, Matt in Hattiesburg. This is Sports Talk here on Saints Radio, WWL. Bobby, what do you think about a blackout Sunday in the Superdome, man? A blackout and no voice Monday.
Well, sounds good. Blackout, no voice Monday. I like no voice Monday for sure. Blackout, yeah, back in black, all in black in the Dome. I think, you know, Penn State did the whiteout. We look blackout, and hopefully we'll force the Rams to have a few black eyes. So then that would be nice.
Let's get it going. A blackout in the Dome on Sunday for the 205
blackout, yeah.
NFC Championship
you
game.
You can even wear your you have those skinny jeans, those black. I can see Christian in his black shirt
jeans.
And his black skinny jeans.
I don't have skinny jeans. You have to be skinny to wear those.
Well, no, even though you're not skinny, you can put your black skinny jeans on.
It's the first time in history that Christian has ever been confused with Scoot.
Right? No, yeah, Scoot has black skinny jeans, yeah.
Yeah. Thomas on the West Bank. What's going on, Thomas? You're on WWL.
Hey, what's going on, Christian? What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, Thomas, what you got?
Can we get a hoot at on this hot Tuesday? Shout out to Drew Brees, happy birthday, baby!
Hoot at?
So this is my idea for the hoot at chant to start the game off. I'm down with that blackout, but my idea is to let Gail Benson go out there and start the hoot at chant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what, Thomas? That's a great thought. I'm sure she's humbled by it, but that's not her style. Mm-hmm. It just isn't.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that. I totally understand that. But as a former football player, to see something like that, I mean, goosebumps, they're already going to have goosebumps, hair stand up on the back of their neck. But that gives you that extra, you know, that extra, you know what I mean? But that's a good idea. We can't have it, but that's cool. I just think that'll be great for everybody across the city, you know. And I think that'll be great for this last home game before we head to the Super Bowl. Right?
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
The thing is, I don't think nobody would be against Ms. Gail Benson going out there and leading the hoot at chant.
She's not her style, though.
Well, what's the style? We're in New Orleans. Is any style?
That's not her style. She doesn't want to be the attraction.
Well, we're not in Des Moines, Iowa. You're in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yeah, but she likes being.
Hey,
know,
so what? You own the team. You can do the hell you want.
I know, but if that's not her personality, then she don't want to do it.
Hey,
it's her discretion.
We'll entice her.
Okay.
Come on, Ms. Gail, you could do it. Just have fun. Life's too short not to have fun. Come on.
2:05 is an odd start time. Hope fans aren't late. They're not going to be late to this one. You can rest assured that is not happening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.